Thinking your chronic back pain was caused by an old sports injury? You could be painfully wrong. It might be an inflammatory condition called ankylosing spondylitis, or AS. Stay tuned, because later in the show, we'll tell you more. This message is brought to you by AbbVie.
Welcome to the Roughing the Passer podcast. Will Brinson, Nick Costas joining us for the first time this year on a Thursday. What's up, bruh?
Will, what's going on, brother? You know, to everyone that's been tweeting about the opening line recently, really appreciate each and every one of you. Opening line currently on hiatus. And let's be honest, we have now upgraded with Nick Costas and Will Brinson. No, maybe not, but yes, actually, I think that we have upgraded now with this podcast, making picks on a Thursday, Roughing the Passer. Thank you very much for having me, buddy.
It's not even me having you. This is our new show. I mean, this is what it's going to be, so people can get used to it. We've gotten some compliments about the Prisco show on Tuesdays, and that's going to keep going. Pete and I will talk about, I don't know, whatever the hell we talk about on Tuesdays, basically recapping Monday night, making fun of Jeff Fisher. But then on Thursday, you and I are going to make the picks. Pete is refusing to send us his five best bets. Clearly scared. I think he kicked his tail in the super contest this week.
Well,
right?
What he is, Will, is terrified of me and my picks prowess. You know, I beat him last year in the super contest, already holding a one-game lead over him this year as well. So I could see where he's coming from. But, you know, really, I should be the one hiding my picks from Pete, since my picks are better than Pete's. You figured he would want mine. I want nothing to do with his crappy selections, and I happen to like a lot of games this week, my friend.
Pete, by the way, is the ultimate, don't look at my paper. Don't look at my paper. He's the guy who like
thinks decent impersonation of Pete. Not bad.
I think I've taken the impersonation too far. I went 1-4 last week, Nick. I'm not thrilled about it. Obviously,
how could you be?
Right, 1-4 is terrible. I did lose some tough ones though. I felt like the Bears probably should have covered. I didn't expect to see 0 points in the second half. And the Seahawks. Why didn't you beat the crappy Dolphins by more points, Seattle?
Yeah, well, whenever I see double-digit points, I always like to take the underdog. So I leaned Miami, but yeah, the Dolphins should have won that game, Will, if not for the schmucky kicker missing that kick in the fourth quarter and Kenny Stills dropping a sure touchdown pass. Miami could have won that football game.
Yeah, see, that was a stupid thing. I think a lot of times what happens is in week one, I'll get away from what I know to be I always take a 10-point underdog, double-digit underdog in week one when you don't know anything about football teams. You only have this, you know, this preconceived notion about them. It's stupid to take the favorite. And I just kind of got away from that, and I regret it. But I think the thing about week two, Nick, is you take what you learned, you mix it with what you know, and then you start to get hot. And plus, I actually don't think that I got
hot. You're like
hot.
An alchemist. I like that.
Right. Yeah, or a meth dealer, whatever you want to say. I think that
Blue Sky, by the way, delicious.
An alchemist really is. All that is a modern day meth dealer, or like an ancient meth dealer. That's all.
An ancient meth dealer, correct.
I think that I didn't get hot on these picks.
Until Who wrote that book? People talk about that book like it's the greatest thing ever, The Alchemist.
See, that's the problem with the past. Like everybody, you're like, you know what's amazing is Citizen Kane. Citizen Kane is not amazing. It's boring.
Citizen Kane sucked, and at the end of the sled's name is Rosebud. So if you've never seen it, I just spoiled it.
You know what's a great movie is Usual Suspects.
Fantastic.
Right, of course, but Usual Suspects.
That I will not spoil, because if you've never seen that movie, I will not spoil the ending, because it's great.
Watching that the first time is maybe my favorite movie experience ever.
Like, you're mind.
Exactly. And like it was pre 9/11, when now all movies have to be serious.
Oh, way pre 9/11. Right.
But I mean, like, you know, it was the sort of movie, it was before like Sixth Sense and all that stuff started coming out. But everything's this crazy spoiler crazy thing at the end. Again, don't want to spoil it. You need to go watch Usual Suspects if you haven't.
A must.
But to my point is that, you know, you got to live in the future, Nick. You got to live in the present. You got to live looking forward. You got to worry about the past. 1-4 is 1-4. I'm done with it. Let's pick these.
Well, you know what they say. He who ignores the past is a very intelligent individual.
That's right. There you go. I'm a genius. We are recording this on a Thursday. This podcast will post before the Jets-Bills game on Thursday night, but I don't want to linger on that. I just want to very quickly, your pick for that Thursday night game. The Bills are now getting points at home on a primetime game with Rex Ryan revenge game.
Yeah, listen, you know, I think that four words you'll hear a lot from me, they're actually, Will, my four favorite words in the English language when used in succession: primetime, home underdogs. I mean, are you kidding me? The Bills are getting points here. this is great because Buffalo embarrassed in week number one. Everyone thinks they're going to get killed. Everyone thinks Rex is going to get fired. One of those two things is true. The Bills will not get killed. Rex will eventually get fired. Buffalo wins this game tonight. You got to check to see if Sammy Watkins is playing. By all accounts, as of right now, as we tape this on Thursday morning, it looks like Watkins will play if and when that he is on the field tonight for the Bills. I think he tortures Darrell Revis, and I like the Bills to win this football game. Remember the last time Ryan Fitzpatrick played in Buffalo, week 17, winning in for the Jets, laid an absolute egg. Another revenge game. This is the third revenge game now for Rex Ryan against the Jets, and I think that that his team will win for the third time. I like Buffalo quite a bit on Thursday night.
We're the same here. I like the Bills mainly because everyone is against the Bills, and yep. Because Rex Ryan, it's a roller coaster, man. You got to ride. I thought he would get up for the Ravens. I didn't look ahead to the schedule and see the Jets. Should have known that he would. Week one was a trap game for Rex. Now he's getting up against his old team. He'll get them to play well. They'll surprise some people. It's Thursday night. Weird stuff happens. Opener on CBS Sports. You should check that game out tonight on CBS Sports.
In addition to Thursday Night Live pregame show tonight.
Oh, that's right.
CBSSports.com, the app, Apple TV, Roku, and all OTT devices.
I hope that nobody in charge of promotion or my salary listens to this and realizes that I forgot to promote the show that I'll be appearing on every Thursday night with you.
It's going to be a damn good show.
It will be a good show. It'll be a great show. Great show. Tremendous show.
Great show. The best show in the history of shows.
Saints at Giants. Look, I'll be honest, Nick. I think there's an easy lean for me here, and it's the freaking over on this game. 52.5. 50. Is it too obvious? 52-49 when these two teams played last year. Giants defense is much improved and played well last week, but that was against Dak Prescott, and the Cowboys didn't target Des Bryant for some reason. I think Drew Brees will find plenty of passing room against this Giants team that Janoris Jenkins gives up big passing plays. Giants -4.5. I don't really have a huge lean on the line. I guess I would take the points in what I think will be a shootout, but I love the over here.
Yeah, I don't know if I love the over. I like the over. The Giants defense is a lot better than it was last year.
A lot better.
Janoris Jenkins was very good in week one. And yes, to your point, when he was with the Rams, he had the penchant for either making the interception or giving up the long touchdown. He was very good last week defending Dez Bryant. I think that had a lot to do with Dez's inactivity in the game. One catch for 8 yards. This defensive line is very good. Hankins and Damon Snacks Harrison in the middle of that defensive front. I think they're going to shut down the Saints run game. I think this pass rush can get after Drew Brees. You saw last week, not much of a pass rush, but against Dallas's outstanding offensive line and a mobile quarterback in Dak Prescott. I think the Giants are going to annihilate the Saints in this game here. And I know I'm a Giants fan, grew up a Giants fan, the full disclosure, but I will pick against them when need be. Last week I took the Cowboys. This week I'm going to take the Giants. I don't think this game's going to be close. I think the Giants will win by double digits. No real lean on the total.
Interesting. I see the reason I like the total.
I mean, Odell Beckham's going to have 170 receiving yards in this game.
In the first.
Willie Sneed had 170 receiving. Oh, I mean, Michael Crabtree and Amari Cooper destroyed the Saints defense last week.
Saints defense
Odell Beckham will do the same thing.
And Delvin Bro, the Saints' best cornerback, is now out for the season. So, I mean, this is Saints secondary that's getting worse. I just think you're going to see points from the Giants. No kidding. And then at some point, New Orleans is gonna match a few of those. I don't know if it's gonna be 30 points, but I think they'll match at least 21 points. And you know, if you had the Giants at 30, you know, let's say the Giants can get 4 touchdowns. I just think we're gonna. Okay, now I'm scaring myself into the under. I think it goes over the total.
I think the over is too obvious. That's what sort of scares me off from.
Yeah, and it's actually moving down a little bit. Good thing I didn't already put that wager in. Oh God. Panthers 49ers biggest line of the week. You love some underdogs, Nick. 13.5. Is that too much of an underdog? What would this line be if the 49ers had lost 28-0 on Monday night?
Maybe 117.5, and I think I'd lay the points with Carolina. Dude, I hate to say it. I would lay the this is a layer to don't play it for me. The 49ers are not going to score in this game. Like the Panthers are not going to respect Blaine Gabbert in this passing game. Look, how many interceptions did LaMarcus Joyner drop on Monday night? Alec Ogletree dropped a would-be pick six. The Rams defense actually played pretty well in the second half of that game, an uninspired first half. They missed a lot of big plays, left a lot of turnover potential on the field. And Blaine Gabbert was decent in the first half and then reverted back to captain checkdown Blaine Gabbert in half number two. He was terrible. The Panthers are not going to respect the 49ers passing attack. They're going to shut down Carlos Hyde. And if and when, a.k.a. when, the 49ers go down big, what's going to happen? Pin their ears back, rush the passer. Blaine Gabbert's going to make mistakes. I think the Panthers win this game somewhere in the vicinity of 27-3.
Yeah, see, the thing about the Panthers, too, is that, you know, you talk about how a defense looked. The Panthers got embarrassed by the Broncos. Luke Kuechly and Thomas Davis routinely were kind of de-pantsed by that zone attack that Gary Kubiak runs. They're not going to be happy about that. And they're playing at home. Bank of America, now a place where it's scary to play because that crowd gets really loud. And this 49ers team overmatched. I think you're getting some value with the Panthers because the 49ers are 1-0, but 14 points is a lot. I think Carolina, this is a game where Carolina to me also looked really, really good on Thursday night and should have won that game, but for not 50 million illegal hits to Cam's head. I'm with you. I'll take the Panthers. I don't love the Panthers, but.
I don't love it either, but for me, like I likely won't bet it or play it in the super contest. But if I were to bet, lay it or don't play it with the Panthers.
A Cowboys getting a second straight NFC game, NFC East game. Excuse me, Cowboys at the Redskins. Redskins are favored by 2.5. Over under a 45.5. A strange 1 o'clock game. Usually they throw this bad boy on at 4:25 for that primetime Fox game. 1 o'clock though, it's an interesting game.
I feel like if you took the last 15 Week 2 Monday Night Football games, 11 of them have been Cowboys Redskins. Week 2 Monday Night Football.
I feel like
I'm shocked that this is not the Monday Night game.
I feel like if you take the last 150 of them, then 110 are they? I mean, yeah.
It's always Week 2 Monday Night Football, yeah. Redskins Cowboys.
That's why Jerry Jones bathes in Johnny Walker blue, because he's always on primetime and he knows it and he loves it. He doesn't care. Both teams 0-1. I thought the Cowboys looked better than the Redskins last week and played better. I mean, clearly played better against maybe a not as good an opponent, but the Kirk Cousins looked like the trash we kind of expected before last season.
He was horrendous.
Now, I will give him credit because I don't think it was all his fault. That running game, I think they rushed 11 times with Matt Jones and Chris Thompson. Couldn't get anything going. In the first half, Nick, Kirk Cousins saw one third down that was under 3rd and 5. You can't play behind the sticks like that with Kirk Cousins. You can do it maybe with Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady or Ben Roethlisberger or Cam Newton. You can't do it with Kirk Cousins. And the Redskins, I think they'll have a little more success running the ball against the Cowboys, put him in a better position to succeed. And I see some points scored here. I wouldn't touch the total on this game. I mean, sorry, I wouldn't touch the spread just because weird things are going to happen in this game. Very weird, strange, bizarre things.
I like the Redskins. I think that you get a lot of what we talk about, right? Where a team looks really bad in primetime and you get them in a value spot the next week. Look, the Redskins were really bad against a elite opponent in the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yes. And I think you saw the difference between those two teams. Pittsburgh, just the far superior outfit. I think Dallas, obviously, a lot closer to Washington in terms of quality of play and in terms of the construction of these two teams. Redskins at home, the line ticking now under 3 points, -2.5. Dak Prescott on the road. Give me a break here. I think this is a fairly easy play for the Washington Redskins. No pass rush for Dallas. If Cousins even plays moderately better than he did on Monday night, the Redskins are going to score 35 points. I think this is a fairly easy pick for the Redskins here.
All right, that works. And I think the Steelers and the Redskins is that when people talk about that game, they talk about how the Redskins were embarrassed on both sides of the ball. Fair point. They were humiliated.
Yeah. In sincerity. It's not even like us. That's not hyperbole.
No. Brashaw Breeland is a smoking pile of ashes right now.
He got Temple of Doom by Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown reached into his chest and pulled out his still beating heart.
I've actually got Dallas in the picture. He's kind of talking me to Washington, though, at 2.5. But I think you're right, because Pittsburgh's defense in 3 or 4 weeks, we're going to look at Pittsburgh and say, man, that defense is really good. And we're not going to say Washington's offense is trash. You know, I think we'll say Washington's offense is okay. Kirk Cousins still completed 69% of his passes. That's a nice number. Moving along, Dolphins, Patriots, another 1 o'clock game on CBS Sports. The Dolphins 0-1 after that trip to Seattle. The Patriots inexplicably 1-0, one game up in this division without Gronk, without Tom Brady, and they're getting 6.5. They're giving 6.5. Excuse me. You have to think Gronk is playing this week, right?
Yeah, I think Gronk's playing, and to me, it doesn't make a difference if Gronk plays or doesn't play. So I'm going to take the points with the Miami Dolphins here again. New England, always a public darling, winning in primetime with Jimmy Garoppolo, America's new sweetheart, Jimmy G. Everyone's going to be betting on the Patriots. How could the Patriots, not blow out the Dolphins at home after what we saw on Sunday night in Arizona against a Super Bowl competitor? The answer is because the Patriots aren't as good as they look Sunday night without Tom Brady, and the Dolphins aren't as bad as you think they are. If you actually watch that game, as I referenced earlier, the Dolphins outplayed the Seahawks if not for some really dumb mistakes on special teams, the Kenny Stills drop. The Dolphins would have won that football game. And look, I've been a very vocal critic of Ryan Tannehill. It's worth noting that when they needed to go down and get the go-ahead score at the end of the game, Tannehill drove them down the field. They scored a touchdown. They took the lead. Now, Russell Wilson was able to drive his team down the field and do the same thing. But what Tannehill did should not get lost in the shuffle. I'm not saying the Dolphins are going to win this game, but I think the number here is too high. I feel very confident in the Dolphins covering this spread, keeping the game close.
I'm with you. I like the Dolphins too. And I think this is part and parcel of a New England look great in a primetime game on the road in week one and destroy, you know, beat the Cardinals, snuck out a win there with Jimmy Garoppolo, no Gronk. So you add Gronk back in. Look,
I think I dislike Jimmy Garoppolo.
He's too handsome.
He's uncomfortably handsome.
He really is. Like, I have,
and look, you're married. Like, I'm single. Sure. I'm as straight as they come. I have no problem admitting it. Very comfortable with my sexuality. The guy is uncomfortably handsome.
He's devastatingly good looking. Who's better looking, Jimmy Garoppolo or Tom Brady?
Wow. I think it might be because Garoppolo's younger. I think it's Garoppolo.
I mean, if they both walk into a bar and let's assume that this bar is full of women or men, whatever. But
they not know what about football.
Exactly.
Because no Brady's one, the guy if they know football.
Right. No one in the bar knows who they are, and they both walk in. I'm thinking Garoppolo gets hit on more than Brady. I mean, he's
Brady's rocking the Sean Hunter Boy Meets World haircut right now, so
true.
I think it's definitely
Garoppolo. I mean, he's just walking, like he's walking up the field, and just women and men are just like parting ways, like Moses in the Red Sea.
Could you imagine, like, I think I'm a decent looking guy. Like, could you imagine being that, like what an advantage that is in life? Like, to win the genetic lottery to that degree, like, not only do you play there are some ugly quarterbacks in the National Football League. Not only do you win the genetic lottery and you're able to throw a football better than 99.999% of the people on this planet, but you're also better looking than 99.999% of the people on this planet. I hope Ndamukong Su steps on his helmet on Sunday. That's how
but,
I feel.
But you know, the
Jimmy
worst part is
the worst looks.
The worst part is he's probably like a really nice guy who does charitable works. But yeah, exactly. Like, but he could be out. He's freaking Spider-Man. See, you got to be out there using these talents to the betterment of your own selfish ability, Jimmy. What are you doing being a nice guy and playing football, professional football? Come on.
Jimmy Garoppolo, selfish.
Go to a bar and of course, you see Johnny Manziel not doing him a whole lot of good. Selfish. Ooh, boo, sad. Okay, moving along. All right, we're going to pause very quickly for a message from a sponsor.
Hey, sports fans. If you're like me, you love a pickup basketball game or a round of golf with your friends. And maybe you thought an awkward jump shot or a few ugly swings were causing your chronic back pain. Truth is, you could be painfully wrong. Because if your back pain started before age 40 and has lasted longer than 3 months, it could point to an inflammatory condition called ankylosing spondylitis, or AS. To learn if your symptoms could signal AS, take a short quiz at asbackpainquiz.com. Then, talk to your doctor. Find out if you could be painfully wrong. This message is brought to you by AbbVie.
Bengals Steelers, what a delightful game. This is the game you'll be watching on CBS on Sunday at 1 o'clock. Bengals getting 3.5 points. This is a fascinating number to me because I think since he's really good, I'm just surprised it's not just I guess it has to be three and it's got to move one way or another. I'm just surprised it's not just a kind of a pick 'em based, give 3 points to the home team.
Yeah, mine actually opened at 4 and it's ticked down to 3.5 in Pittsburgh.
I tell you what, I think, and I don't want to curse him because I got him on like one or two teams.
Pick, in my opinion. I wonder who you think I'm going to take.
Well, I think you take the points.
There's no question.
I mean, this is just a field goal game. So if you can get the hook, you take the hook, right?
Well, I think, you know, Pittsburgh was great on Monday night against an inferior opponent.
Yes.
The Bengals are not an inferior opponent. The Bengals went on the road in an impressive fashion and beat a pretty good team in the New York Jets. Dalton driving them down the field at the end. Nugent's game-winning field goal revenge against his former team that drafted him. I think the Bengals are better than the Steelers, and I think that this line is a little crazy, and the reason why it's where it is because of what Pittsburgh did on Monday night in primetime. I think this is an easy, easy play, Bengals plus 3.5.
Is this a best bet situation?
It could be. I don't know if I've really been able to really lock down my best bets as of yet. I think it probably falls outside my best bets, but I do like it quite a bit.
What do you think about the concept of AJ Green finishing the year as the number one fantasy wide receiver? Not because he's the quote unquote the best wide receiver in the league. I mean, I think it's Antonio Brown by far and away, unless something happens to him, but because there's no one else in Cincinnati and Andy Dalton is willing to feed him. And Andy Dalton is just better than people are ever willing to give him credit for.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt. You know, on Fantasy Football Today here, we talk about it all the time. I think there's a clear holy trinity of receivers, right, in fantasy. Odell Beckham, Julio Jones, Antonio Brown. But I think AJ Green turns it into a Fantastic Four. I think he's outstanding as well. I think he's on that level. And he turned Revis Island from Alcatraz into a tropical resort this past Sunday.
He's just hanging out with
the same from him.
Hanging out with a Tommy Bahama shirt on, a pina colada, like just
chilling,
throwing cig butts into the sand on Revis Island and laughing about it. Ravens Browns, the slightly less sexy cousin to Bengals Steelers, also 1 o'clock on CBS. I'm sure there'll be plenty of people tuning into that. 6.5 points for the Browns at home. This, I wanted to make this a best bet, but I might have made this a best bet. I did make it a best bet. I like Cleveland's terrible. They stink. But Josh McCown might just be better than Robert Griffin III. He actually utilizes Duke Johnson. He actually utilizes Gary Barnage. The Ravens are highly overvalued based on winning a game against the horrible Bills team here. And if you can give me a touchdown at home in a divisional game, I'm going to take it all day, even if it's the crappy Browns.
I think it's more than that. I think the line is what we're seeing because of what Cleveland did last week. I mean, yes, Baltimore was able to win, but Cleveland was embarrassing. And, you know, Brian Billick said a couple weeks ago he could see the Browns going 0-16. When he first said that, I'm thinking to myself, there's no chance. And then I watched the game on Sunday, and I'm thinking, well, there might be a chance. They got slammed by Carson Wentz and the Philadelphia Eagles. We're not exactly talking about the 72 Dolphins with the 2016 Eagles. But with that being said, you're going to get it. I think this line will go up to 7 by kickoff.
Yep.
You're getting a touchdown at home. Like you said, Will, divisional game, a more competent option now with Josh McCown under center. He's not the second coming of Brian Sipe, but he's better than Robert Griffin III. I think this is an easy play. Lock of the, how about this? I don't know if I'm, maybe not lock of the millennium status, but maybe lock of the century here. The Cleveland Browns will cover the spread on Sunday against the Baltimore Ravens. I think this will almost definitely be one of my super contest plays.
Yeah, it's similar to Bills and Jets to me in terms of how they're perceived after 1 week. And everybody's like, well, the Browns are the worst team in football. They're not going to win a game. They could win this game. The Ravens aren't that great. They don't have the same ability to exploit. They have weapons, but I just don't. I don't know. I just see the Browns coming out. I'm with you. It's a lock. Titans at Lions. I for some reason love the Tennessee Titans. I don't think I put them in. I've got my best bets. I did not put them in my best bets, but I actually picked them to win this game straight up. No wonder I went 4-12 last week straight up.
Yeah, well, that ain't happening.
I can see it happening. I don't like the Lions. Maybe I need to.
Yeah, I mean, I could also see. You know, me getting home to and Kate Upton's waiting on my couch for me. You know, I don't think either thing's going to happen. No, it won't. But I appreciate you saying that, buddy. Thanks for the vote of confidence. The Lions are going to win this game. It's too many points. Tennessee brutal last week. That's what people last saw. People last saw the Lions. Matthew Stafford engineering a come-from-behind win against the Colts. The Lions not as good as they looked last week. The Titans not as bad as they looked last week. The Lions win the game in close fashion, maybe a field goal game. But Tennessee covers the spread.
Wait, so Tennessee winning by 6 points or less is far more – you just admitted it. Like, it's at least a possibility. Kate Upton is like in a different city, man. She ain't showing up.
Correct. Okay. All right. Yeah, so I'd say that one is more possible than the other because of logistics. Yes. And by the way, Kate, if you're listening, I don't have the bank account that Justin Verlander does, and he's also better looking than me. So maybe don't listen. But
the fastball.
Speaking of guys that won the genetic lottery, and the Tennessee Titans cover the spread. The Detroit Lions win the game.
All right, Chiefs at Texans. This is one of my best bets. I think the Chiefs are overvalued here as well because they weren't very good against the run. Lamar, they gave up 4.8 yards per carry to Danny Woodhead and Melvin Gordon. I think Lamar Miller is going to have another big game this week. He got career highs in the first half. I feel like we probably spent some time last year calling Joe Philbin and Man Campbell, or boy Man Campbell, both morons because they wouldn't run Lamar Miller. He got career highs in the first half in terms of carries with 15 and career highs in the second half in terms of carries with 28. They're going to feed him here. Will Fuller's an animal, and DeAndre Hopkins is kind of getting ignored a little bit. Brock Osweiler's not great, but the Chiefs defense without Justin Houston cannot stop the Texans. I like the Texans to roll here, Nick.
Yeah, toughest game of the week for me to pick here because I think at the end of the day, I trust Andy Reid and Alex Smith more than I trust Bill O'Brien and Brock Osweiler. I am with you, though. If you make me pick, I'll take the Texans here at the short number, either 2.5 or -3 at home. With that being said, I will be staying far away from this game come kickoff. I have no real opinion on it.
All right. So that's fine. I like the Texans a lot. They're one of my best bets. We'll remember that for next week. Rams 0-1 against the Seahawks. The line on my CBS scoreboard here is showing Rams plus 7.
The line has skyrocketed.
Why is that?
Because people think that the Rams are really bad after what we saw on Monday.
Well, I put them in last night at 3.5. I mean,
And the super contest number is 4.5.
I mean, give me the points all day long. Russell Wilson is hobbled. Their offensive line isn't good. The Rams' defensive line is going to come out and need a statement here. And
worth noting, Will, this game is currently off the board on the site that I bet on right now. So I think that people are probably cautiously approaching this, the books, as it concerns Russell Wilson.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I don't think it's a guarantee that Russell Wilson plays this week. I mean, I think he'll end up playing, but I think if you're the Seahawks, you have to consider this is week 2. We are 1-0. We don't play well against this division opponent. They have a really good defensive line that will do a lot of damage to Russell. Is it worth putting him out there if he's going to potentially suffer an injury? We know that the Seahawks are really smart about peaking later in the year. Russell Wilson's injury it's not like he did something wrong, like a RG3 tried to run into a guy. He got his ankle stepped on by Ndamukong Suh. My leg would evaporate into thin air if that happened, Nick. I think
better chance that it would shatter than evaporate, but sure, your point is noted.
No, I mean, you saw the injury, right? It's a miracle it didn't just break in two.
Yeah, it's hideous.
Yeah. So I like the Rams, the points. I think it's easy. And if I'm getting 7, hell yes.
I don't care. It could be Russell Wilson, Trevone Boykin, Dave Craig, Matt Hasselbeck. I don't really care who Seattle rolls out there. I am also Kelly Stouffer. What's he doing right now? Dan McGuire, maybe taking HGH with Mark? Not sure. I will take the points with the Rams. This is so classic. This is like, for everyone listening right now, this is the quintessential Nick Costos pick. And look, it doesn't always work. It's called gambling, not sure thing, right? It doesn't always work out. But if you were to ask 100 people that you consider to be decent football fans, right? Big football fans, even just casual football fans. Hey, who's going to win on Sunday? The Seattle Seahawks or the Los Angeles? Yeah, that Los Angeles Rams team that scored 0 points on Monday night against Blaine Gabbert and the 49ers. Who's going to win and by how many points? I'll bet you 99, if not 100 of those people will say Seattle in a romp. And when that happens, you take the other side and you count your winnings after the game ends, because those casinos in Las Vegas, man, they're gorgeous. And you know what? Speaking of evaporate, they did not evaporate or come into thin air. That's not how things work. Give me the Rams here and I will take St. Louis or Los Angeles all day in this spot.
Same here. That ignores the fact that the Rams traditionally under Jeff Fisher against the Seahawks under Pete Carroll have been very good, especially in they're in Los Angeles now. Is this game in Los Angeles? Where the hell are they playing?
It's
this
in
game?
Los Angeles. Yeah, you heard me say I screwed you up. I said St. Louis first.
No, it's fine, but I just realized a factor we're not considering. Who else plays at the Los Angeles Coliseum?
Oh, this is the Jeff Fisher connection here?
No, it's Pete Carroll's old home.
Oh, but Jeff Fisher also a Trojan.
They're both Trojans, yeah. But like Pete Carroll won a lot of games in the Coliseum. I was thinking
you're overthinking it.
Yeah, I'm overthinking. I was just thinking this is like the empty, sad Edward Jones Dome that just seems to drain the life out of opponents. I don't know, a little bit more factor.
Or set fires in the pregame.
That's right. Or just break Reggie Bush's ACL. Buccaneers at Cardinals. This is not an overreaction game because the Cardinals are giving 6.5 points to a Buccaneers team that lit up the Falcons last week on the road. Huge test for Jameis Winston. Over under a 50. I have this as a best bet, and I don't, this is not how I usually like to roll. I've taken the Cardinals -6.5, and I'm doing it, Nick, because I think that the way that this team, the Cardinals are a top 5 team. It's not in doubt, despite the loss to the Patriots, and the way that they will respond to the way that Bruce Arians MF'd them all week is going to be in impressive fashion. I love the Buccaneers. I've got them in the playoffs, but this is an okay game for them to lose, and I expect that you see the Cardinals roll here.
I have no pick on this game. I'll make one because we have to here, but I'm not going to play this game. I won't bet it. It will not be one of my best bets for this week or a super contest pick. I would lay it or don't play it, I think, with the Arizona Cardinals, but worth noting here, public majority on Arizona. The spread has ticked down to 6.5 in some spots here. So I think you're seeing some sharp money coming on Tampa.
Sure.
And that always scares me off a little bit. But at the end of the day, I do think the Cardinals are the better team. You know, Tampa beat an inferior Falcons club last week, and now they go and face a legitimate Super Bowl contender in Arizona. Again, I'm not going to play it. Don't feel great about it, but you make me pick. I'll take the Cardinals.
All right, Jaguars at Chargers. Chargers -3, despite coughing up a huge lead against the Chiefs. And then the Jags, of course, played the Packers pretty well. I don't honestly know which way to go on this, Nick. I think that I ultimately...
I'm going to tell you.
Okay, cool. I'll tell you what. I don't... I like the Chargers to win this division. I thought they were going to win last week. I did before the season. Now I have to kind of stick with it, right? My problem is they lost last week.
Chargers to win the division.
30 minutes into that week one game, it looked like a pretty good bet. All right. I'm going to hold this. We're going to save this audio. We'll use this. We'll bring this back up later. My concern here is that the Chargers are terrible at home against the spread.
Chargers.
F you, buddy. The Chargers are terrible at home against the spread, and the Jaguars are better than people think. And I have a, like, if I did what the Chargers did on the golf course and then went back out and played a week later, I would shank it left and right because I would be so emotionally and mentally devastated.
Here's the thing, right? Chargers coughed up that big, the big lead last week. Jacksonville, despite the loss to Green Bay, they covered last week. People like the Jaguars and Blake Bortles and company because they're fantasy football darlings because of Robinson and Hearns and company. No Keenan Allen for the Chargers. People will see this line. Everyone's going to take Jacksonville. You will not because you are smart. I'm not talking about you specifically, Mister. I picked the Chargers to win the AFC West, but you, dear listener, are intelligent. You will not follow the Lemmings walking off the cliff. You will take the San Diego Chargers, and you will count your winnings after the game when the Chargers win by 7 points.
All right. So is that a best bet, potential best bet?
I think that it's trending towards best bet status.
Would love to get it at 2.5, though, obviously.
Oh, 2.5. I mean, I take my future firstborn, and I bet his college tuition on it.
No, honey, it's okay, but Phillip Rivers at home. And I mean, look, it's the Jaguars, baby. Come on, there's no way.
And a great home field advantage in San Diego.
By the way, I love using the phrase home firstborn, like betting your firstborn. What is the actual monetary?
You have one.
Right, well, I use it less now, but like, what is the monetary value on a child? Can we debate that on this podcast?
I mean, I think you're probably better equipped to answer that question than me.
Well, I mean, AK was, she was like, you know, she always jokes. She'd be like, we're selling this little bleeper, you know, when he like does something insane. And she's like, I mean, like, what do we get for him? Like $10,000? I'm like, I think we get way more than that for a child.
Oh, yeah, for a child?
Yeah. For like a good looking blonde haired, blue eyed child. Don't you get like 500 grand? I mean, like, we're not selling it for $10,000. What are you, a lunatic?
If you're going to sell the kid, yeah, you got to get more money than 10 grand.
I feel like, I mean, I don't know what child trafficking costs. Like, I have no, there's a wide range here, but I mean, are we talking like, it's got to be six figures, right?
I have to be honest, my level of knowledge of the child trafficking deal is insignificant, so I don't think that I'm very equipped to answer.
And your comfort level may depend on how public a space you're in at the CBS offices right now to discuss this topic. Yes. Falcons at Raiders. Raiders getting 4.5, not your typical 3-point spread. You are bringing Atlanta into a situation where they're going to have to be slowed down by that crappy football field that has a baseball field on it. They're not in a dome. I think Atlanta's a little bit better. I like Atlanta because it's more than the three, and it's just classic Raiders overvalued. But I do think the Raiders are a very good team.
Yeah, the Raiders won in spectacular fashion last week. Everyone remembers the 2-point conversion. Everyone remembers the Falcons losing. Everyone will bet on Oakland. Atlanta will cover the spread. Case closed. One of my best bets of the week. Atlanta with the points.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think one of the things there too is that the other thing that people will forget. Is that the Raiders hemorrhage touchdowns to Drew Brees and Brandon Cooks? Well, a little fellow named Julio Jones would like a word. He's quite talented.
He's pretty good.
Yeah. Colts at Broncos. Broncos getting six, giving six. One day on this podcast, I'll say that right for one single game. Broncos giving six to the Colts. I have a hard time leaning the Colts here because I don't think they can run the ball effectively at all against this Denver defense. And I don't think they can. CJ Anderson, it should be a start of the week in fantasy because he's going to run amok on the Colts in this game.
Yeah, I'm actually going to take the Colts with the points in this spot. Last year, I took the Colts with the points on a game that they played in Indianapolis with Peyton Manning was still the quarterback. They won outright. I don't know if the Colts are going to win this game outright, but I think you're getting an overvalued Broncos squad after what we saw in week one. I don't think Trevor Siemian's very good. Yeah, this just in, Andrew Luck still good at the game of football. I think this is a closer game than people think. I will grab the points with Indy.
All right, works for me. Vikings hosting the Packers plus 2.5. Prime time, by the way, primetime home underdog might actually be three words. I don't know how you say it.
I like it as four.
Okay.
And I've been saying it on all the shows as four. So let's just roll with it.
Well, I wanted to tell you.
I don't like to let the facts get in the way of good stories. It's a really good story.
I wanted to tell you the number of words on a podcast as opposed to on a live video show because I don't want to like throw off your mojo in the middle of a real three picks. Yeah, I mean.
Okay, so the three words then. Primetime home underdog.
Well, I don't know if it is. I don't know if
primetime's not one word. Prime. Two words.
Well, there you go. Then it's four. I was just asking whether you could say I always write prime time as one, but Vikings getting two and a half.
Prime time's two.
Okay.
Prime time is not a word.
If you're Deion Sanders, it is.
Well, are you Deion Sanders?
I mean, I was a Deion Sanders fan growing up. Does that count for anything?
Okay. Yeah. You gave my pick away already. The Vikings are going to beat the Packers. This will probably be another one of my best bets. I don't care who plays quarterback. Hill, Bradford, doesn't make a difference. Vikings win this game at home.
I like the Packers in inexplicable fashion, divisional road. I don't like the fact that it's at that Viking stadium, but Aaron Rodgers has a good history against the Vikings. I think they'll play well. I do think it'll be close, though, because that Vikings defense is good. And finally, Monday night, one of my best bets. The 0-1 Chicago Bears giving 3 points against the Philadelphia Eagles. Oh, the darling Eagles. They slapped around the Browns. Carson Wentz on the road, prime time, against the Bears defense that is better than people think, with weapons that are not as good as people think because of how they looked against the Browns. I like the Bears to roll in this game.
Well, I will say this. As I am, hashtag Mr. Monday Night, my pick will be available on Sportsline on Monday. Mm. I will not give out my selection right now for that game, but I will say that I think you made some excellent points with your analysis.